mention that they are in the offering basket, but everybody got the routine down. You grab one of those as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. At our missions conference, let's see, I was gone for two Wednesdays and had a missions conference. It's been a while since we've done this. No, was I gone? I had a Wednesday that I was back, right? I don't even know when it was the last time. I guess 2 weeks ago we did go through this, but we're on Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 through 18. You look at that with me. Matthew chapter number 6, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Did I turn this on, Jeff? Now I did. All right. I don't give you enough time before I bend that out of the way. That sounds kind of like my back does in the morning. Good thing I don't wear a microphone when I get up in the morning. All right. We're talking about a lesson in fasting. Let me say this. How many of you got the memory verse from last week? 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know that verse already, don't you? Can anybody quote it for me? 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people, which are called... You can say it. Most of you know it already. You ought to know it. And I believe that this verse tells us why we can't have revival in America. Let's quote it together, all right? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people would humble themselves, that's why we can't have a miracle. That's why we can't have revival in America, because it's going to depend on God's people to humble themselves and turn from our wicked ways. But we're real good at pointing out everybody else's wicked ways, aren't we? I encourage you to learn to pray and ask God to show you your wicked ways so you can turn. It'll transform your prayer life, I can guarantee it. And learn to pray, as I said, in our prayer time for people around the world. And we've got a little thing in our website that you can sign up to get a daily email. That works a little more easier for me. Every morning I check that for that email and pray for a people group in the world that has no gospel witness. Millions of people. You know, the groups are, we've been looking at different people groups in India lately, and almost every day there's a group of a pocket of people in India with millions of people that have never heard the gospel. If you talk about Jesus to them, they wouldn't, who's that, your friend that you live with, or who's that? They wouldn't have a clue who Jesus was, and they wouldn't want to hear. And we're such a fortunate people. If nothing else, it'll humble you. It'll teach you to humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and then to turn from our wicked ways. I encourage you to... We're going to give you a memory... Well, we're going to go over the memory verse at the end of the lesson today in Psalm 37. We're going to actually turn to Psalm 37 when I get to the end of the lesson this evening. But we're talking about a lesson in fasting. And I just jotted some things randomly about fasting as kind of some things that you ought to be aware of when it comes to fasting, and then tried to put them in somewhat of an order. And then we're going to compare some things in our text that we just read from Matthew chapter number 6, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, a lesson in fasting. Jesus said, when you fast, not if, but when you fast. The fact that we're not fasting is maybe another sign that we can't have revival unless we get serious about praying and fasting again. But a lesson in fasting. First of all, fasting, and we understand this. I hope you already had supper because you might get convicted if you go home and eat like me after church tonight. Fasting. Fasting means to abstain from what? Food and or drink. Whether out of necessity or as a religious observance. It's used both ways in the Bible. When Paul was on the ship in the book of Acts before they were there in the midst of the storm. They'd fasted for 14 days just because they couldn't stop to eat. They couldn't sleep or eat for 14 days. That must have been some storm. So fasting is either out of necessity or as a religious observance, or maybe there's just no food available. Fasting, and there's some things about fasting that I think we ought to consider as God's people. And I know this is something that I've learned over the years, and I used to do a lot of foolish fasting in my sports days to make weight for wrestling. If I would have known now what I knew then, I'm sure it would have been a lot healthier, but I was just stupid. I would read the candy bar and say, well, this is so many ounces. Well, I can eat that. I'm that far underweight. I just don't drink any water. And that was a dumb thing to do. But and that's about how smart most people are when it comes to health. Fasting, letter A, fasting for health, for the health of our bodies, for good health in our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God, aren't they? Our bodies are the temple of God. Boy, there's a statement right there. That ought to bring conviction on how we care for our bodies or fail to care. Young people, I kind of get on the teenagers on our teen trip, and I know they call it fat camp and everything else, but I feed them well. It's just not the junk that they're used to eating all the time, and not 16 meals every 3 hours, but whatever they do. Fasting for our health and our bodies. Our bodies are the temple. Our world says, and there's a lot of physical value to fasting. And our body is not our God, but it is God's temple. Now, a lot of people in the world that talk about the physical needs of fasting, blink, did you see that? It's not just me. Sometimes it's just me that does that. Uh-oh. I'm wondering if we're okay with this on, Jeff? We'll try it. Would it be better if I just went to this? Why don't I do that? Because it's going to... Now it's not going to do it. That's all right. Do you see Linda jump? That was kind of neat. Do that again. No. our bodies, great. It's a great help physically to our body to shut off the food for a while. In most cases. Now, sometimes it's because we've gone so... I won't get into all that. There's a value of flushing our bodies out from the accumulated toxins in our body. One of the preachers that was here last week had just come off a 30-day cleansing, which is a type of fasting, and just for physical reasons, if nothing else. And there's great value in that. And then I'll just give you this. When you talk about our physical body, folks, this is something that I wish I would have realized a long time ago. Just two simple principles that will transform your health and your diet. You can go on this crazy diet and lose weight and come back and try to fast. You know, sometimes I think I'm going to fast for 3 weeks to lose weight. That's not the good way to lose weight. But just some physical, it's just two simple principles that will transform your health. And I got this from, I think, one of the first times Brother Tremblay was here. He was talking about this. I just got in the mentality and got this into my mind that when you look at food, think of it as fuel. Did you get that? Food is your fuel. When your car is full of gasoline, you don't put more gasoline in it. If you're not using your car, you don't go out and fill it with gasoline every day. Food is your fuel. And you eat things that are good for you, good fuel. It's good to put good fuel in your tank. And then water is your cleanser. Most of the things, and I remember talking to somebody a while back, and they were talking about the health problems they had, and I said, do you drink a lot of water? He said, I can't stand to drink water. I know I should drink more stuff, so I try to drink more, but all I can stand to drink is Mountain Dew, so I drink a lot of Mountain Dew. Anything you drink that's got stuff in it, it's putting junk in you. Water is what flushes that junk out. And we put too much junk in us already. And the only thing that'll, and good water is the only thing that'll flush that out. And you think, well, I'm drinking coffee. Isn't that helpful? And no, that's you need to drink more water to flush that out. But water is your cleanser. And then just like anything else. But those are just some things to think of when we talk about fasting for health, for the health of our bodies. But then fasting is a discipline for the soul. And this is spiritually, I guess, the way I tend to look more at fasting this way. And we'll give you a couple things that I realize after I've been saved for a while, that's not the way we're supposed to fast. But fasting is for discipline of your soul. Our desire is to develop character and become, not to become gods, but to become like God. It's living the crucified life, denying yourself that you might live for Christ, learning to not give your body what it craves so you can learn to crucify yourself, that you can have some discipline and character to live for God. And letter C, I'll give you this, fasting is not a spiritual temper tantrum. That's the way most of us think of fasting. It's kind of like a little kid. God, I'm going to hold my breath until you answer this prayer. God, I'm not going to eat. We're going on a hunger strike. That's not what fasting is. But that's what a lot of times, and I used to think of fasting that way, but that's really not what it ought to be. God, I'm not going to eat till you do this. And not necessarily that's wrong, but it's not like a little kid laying on the floor saying, I'm going to hold my breath till I die, you know, and until you give me this piece of candy or whatever. That's really not what fasting is. And sometimes we need to be careful that we don't have that mentality of fasting. Fasting is not, and this is an important one too, especially if you grew up in a religious background like I did, fasting is not doing penance. Fasting is not doing penance. What is penance? Penance is one of the seven sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. Penance is, and includes fasting. It includes flagellation. It includes wearing chains. It includes crawling on your knees on pieces of glass or on gravel, torturing yourself, trying to earn favor or merit with God. Some people think fasting in that sense, and especially if you grew up in religion like I did, that's kind of something that we got to get out of our mind. It's not penance. Number two, fasting is an expression of grief and sorrow. Fasting is an expression of grief and sorrow. It's often associated with repentance. When we're grieving or sorrowing over repentance, or we're grieving or sorrowing over the loss of a loved one, we're grieving and sorrowing over the sins of a nation. These are all biblical examples. We could turn to different places in the Bible where people are grieving the loss of a loved one, grieving sins of their nation. It's associated, or grieving our own sin. When we're in such deep grief, and we maybe can identify this more in our culture today when we lose someone close to us in death. We just don't have an appetite. Or when we're sick or we're so troubled about something, we don't have an appetite. That's one of the forms of fasting. And more so than that, as a Christian, it ought to be when we're so grieved for the sins of our nation. When we're so grieved for the sins in our life, that we begin to fast. We're so grieved for the fact that someone that we know, that we love, is lost and dying and on their way to hell, that we're praying for them and we're grieving for them. And it's a part of our grieving process. It's a sorrow, a grief, which is a part, it ought to be a part of repentance. In fact, that's the first part of repentance, being broken for our sins. So fasting is an expression of grief and sorrow, and associated with repentance. And then I want you to see this, and we're turned to a couple places here. The Jews fasted often in connection with various public feasts and holy days. You see that throughout the Bible. Different holidays, different festivals included fasting. Some of them were fasting for a day, and still today, different
not only Jewish religions, but other religions have fasting for a while, and then sometimes it's a party atmosphere just before, just after. And that's really what Jesus was addressing here in the text that we're going to look at again in a little bit. And I want you to see this in Luke chapter number 18. Let's turn there, if you will. I want to read this. Luke chapter number 18. I want you to see this, that it was customary for the Pharisees to fast twice a week. It was just their custom to fast twice a week. And by the way, a Pharisee in Jesus' day, they weren't the bad guys. And I know Jesus condemned them many times. In fact, what he condemned them for would be the same thing that he would condemn our type of Christianity, our type of churches for. They were the ones that held, they were literally the fundamentalist Jews. They were the ones that held true to the Word of God. They lifted up the Word of God. They followed the letter to the law. And they said that we ought to dress the way the Bible tells us to dress. We ought to behave the way the Bible tells us to behave. But they lost sight of their love and their relationship with God, just like a lot of people in our churches, just like all of us are prone to do from time to time. Let me give you an example. Well, let me read the verse here first, and I'll give you a personal example in my life of fasting. And Luke chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 9. And Jesus spake a parable unto a certain which were trusting in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Notice who he's talking to. Those that justify. Look at us. We're the right ones. Everybody out there is wrong. We are the fundamentalists. We believe the Bible. We believe the King James Version of the Bible. We dress right. We listen to the right kind of music. Look at us. And boy, we are somebody, aren't we? Boy, you've had that attitude before, haven't you? That's easy to get, isn't it? And he said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I always like that statement. He prayed to himself. He wasn't even praying to God. He thought he was, but he's just praying to himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican here. Look at him. He's even got a pierced ear. He's got tattoos. Look at him. He's got jeans with little slices all up and down. Look at him. He can't be right. I fast twice a week. There he is. There's his badge of spirituality. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And notice, it was a custom for the Pharisees to fast twice a week. Years ago, and actually when I was in Bible college, my sister was also in Bible college. The first person I was able to lead to the Lord was my younger sister, and she went off to Pensacola, and I went to BBC, to Bible college, and we would write to each other. Back then, you couldn't pick up a phone and call each other because nobody could afford it if you even had access to a phone, because they had these things called long-distance fees, believe it or not. So we wrote letters back and forth to each other, which neither one of us cared to do that, so we didn't write a lot. That's kind of something that's in my family genes, and that was my sister, so neither one of us wrote like we should have. But we decided, I think maybe when we're home on Christmas break or something, we prayed together and we said, we're going to determine that one day every week we're going to pray and fast that Dad gets saved. And we did that for months. And it eventually got to where I felt like I'm throwing a spiritual temper tantrum to God. And it just became kind of a routine thing. And it didn't have the meaning that it did at first. And I thought, this is just a spiritual exercise. This isn't real anymore. So I quit doing it on a regular basis. I still did it from time to time, but not on a set schedule. To be quite honest with you, it's easy to get that routine in our life, doing the right thing. And I'm thankful that Dad eventually did get saved before he passed away. And I'm grateful I was able to stand beside his bed in the hospital the day before he went to heaven, and just to reconfirm that again in a personal conversation. And thank the Lord for that. But that fasting can easily become just a routine thing. Number four, fasting needs to be a desire and not a duty. It needs to be something that we desire. We desire to glorify and please God, not self or man. Not to show or to be lifted up for the praise of men. And we'll look at our text here again in a minute, but let me just give you these things before we get to that. Desire to exercise, self-denial. To live, to crucify, or the crucifying of our flesh. Let me see what I put down in your paper. I think I put that on there, didn't I? It's a exercise in self-denial and crucifying of our flesh. It's a desire for grace at times of grief and sorrow. God, I can't do it. God, I need you. We're grieving and we're sorrowing. We're broken. We need God. And again, we as Americans don't think we have a need, so we don't beg and plead with God. And if you can think of this, I think most of us can picture losing a loved one, a close family member. And you know that sensation of, especially if they were saved, you're extremely joyful and extremely sorrowful at the same time. And food and people are bringing food in all the time, and sometimes just, I don't even want to eat. Now, that's crazy when I don't want to eat, but you just lose your appetite. It just doesn't sound appealing anymore because you're broken. If we can get that way where we're broken over sin and we humble ourselves because of our sin, that's the kind of fasting that God desires from us, and that's the kind of fasting that Jesus is talking about in our text. It's a desire to humble ourselves in brokenness and repentance. Our desire. And we're talking about this section, by the way, is the Christian's desire. Desire to serve, desire to pray, a desire to fast and pray. Prayer is a part of fasting, or actually number five, we'll put it that way, I'm getting ahead of myself. Fasting is a part of prayer. It's associated with and connected with prayer in every way. In fact, I want you to do this. Look at Matthew chapter number 6 again, and look at verses number 5 through 7. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now look at Matthew 6 and verse number 16 through 18. "And when ye fast," notice both of them said, "When ye fast," when ye pray. Not if ye fast, not if ye pray. They go hand in hand together. Compare the two together. "Be not of a sad countenance," or "be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast." In other words, the same thing he said about prayer. It's not a vain or emptying exercise that we do. It's something that's real. We're not just doing it for show. Now, yes, in the Bible time when they fasted, they put on sackcloth. They put ashes on their head, but they weren't doing it for show. They were doing it because they were broken. And sometimes you see this I think of a few times that I've been at a funeral. I think of one of my great nieces that passed away, and to see her father just wailing out. And crying out, you know, if it was anywhere else, he would have been embarrassed. But because of that situation, he was just doing it, not for a show, but because it was real, it was genuine. And when they put sackcloth on and put ashes on their head, it wasn't for a show. It was because it was something real. They were mourning. They were weeping out. They were crying out. They weren't doing it as a vain exercise before men. They were doing it before God. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. They're just doing it for men. That's all that they're going to get is for a reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In other words, if you're going about your public business and you're fasting, you don't have to announce it. Don't wear a little pin that says, I'm fasting today. Don't go around boasting to everybody, hey, look at me, I'm so spiritual. Look what I'm doing. Jesus said, just go about your daily business. It's between you and the Lord. That's how we're supposed to fast today. Thou appear unto men to fast, but in your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And then again, notice again, the same as prayer. God sees the secret prayer. And again, we mentioned that when we talked about prayer. That doesn't negate the importance of public prayer. But the most important prayer is private prayer. And I think we can say the same for fasting. It doesn't negate the importance of public fasting. But the most important fasting is secret fasting and secret prayer. They are something that are very real, and they ought to be something that are very important to us. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and prayer and fasting, and then I'll heal their land and confess our sin, be broken for our sin, not the sins of everyone else. And then fasting last, I think I'm on number six, right? I'm on number six. Fasting is a part of our worship. Fasting is a part of our worship. Worship comes from the desire of our spiritual being. What do we desire? Do we desire to please God? Do we desire to honor God? Do we desire to fellowship with God? Look, if you will, to Psalm 37. I want to turn to that psalm. This is a psalm that I might be able to get through the first six or eight verses. I memorized this entire psalm years ago, but I don't think I can get all the way through it again without reviewing it for a week or so. This psalm is a great psalm. It teaches us another great psalm that teaches how to worship the Lord. What is our desire? And it focuses on our desires. And I was thinking of this, especially the verse for our memory verse, and verse number four I picked out for our memory verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, when you just look at that verse by itself, well, he's going to give me the desires of my heart? Well, when you delight in the Lord, your desires are completely different than they were before. Boy, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. Boy, I'd like to have a new car. I'd like to have a new house. I'd like to have $1 million in the bank. You know, all the things that we'd like to have. You know, if you vote for the right Democratic candidate, you're going to get all those things. That's what they're promising you, right? They're even going to stop. One of them is going to stop. I think he's out of the race, but he was going to single-handedly stop global climate change, too. Too bad he didn't get elected. That would have saved us a lot of money if he could have just stopped it like that. I think he had a magic wand or something, but he's no longer in the race, but too bad. We lost out on that one. But we'd like to have, and we have all these desires, and I have all these desires in my life that's just a part of me, but when we're truly walking with God, he changes our desires. Look at Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off, or cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto him. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. By the way, I have no righteousness in my own. The only righteousness I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. living in me. He'll bring forth, he'll shine your testimony and thy judgment as the noonday. I have no right judgment on my own either. I have no right discernment on my own. It's his discernment. It's his judgment. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So there's a lot of fret nots in there. What we're talking about are desires. If we delight in the Lord, if we desire or delight in him, then praying and fasting is going to be just a part of our everyday life. Worship is the desire to please, honor, and fellowship with God. And fasting is a part of our worship. It's how we learn to please and honor and fellowship God with fasting and repentance. Through Bible understanding and real prayer, with fasting we gain the desires which are granted to us by God and his grace. In Psalm 37, again, verse number 4, our memory verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight in him. Rest in him. Find pleasure. Find satisfaction. If you will, fill your belly in fellowship with him. It's not all about meeting my physical needs. The Christian life is all about dying to my flesh, that I might live in Christ. And the easiest way to see how well we're dying to the flesh is to cut off the food bag for a while and see how long we can go. Well, you know, bless God, I've gone a whole 15 minutes. Isn't that long enough, God? It's snack time now, isn't it? Fasting in prayer. Father, we pray.